This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We are so humbled that you are listening to this podcast today and this message, and I think it's going to be a blessing to you and encourage you and maybe teach you a few things. You know, when I first started preaching as a young preacher boy, I thought everybody in the world ought to come hear me preach. But now that I've been preaching for so long, I'm just glad anybody shows up at all. And so if you're listening to this, I'm glad. If you're only one, although we know more are listening, but we appreciate each and every one of you so much. And the good news is that we are moving toward reopening journey, hopefully within the next 3 weeks, maybe the first Sunday of June, maybe a little bit sooner, a little bit later. We're very carefully, the leadership of the church, carefully monitoring the situation and looking how we can do it, because it's not our building, but we want to do it as in the best way that we can, the safest way that we can, because our number one priority is your safety. And so I hope all of you are doing well, and I repeat what I've said every time. Should you need anything or have a prayer request, we are as near as the telephone. Just give us a call. I want to talk a little bit today about a subject you may not hear a lot about, but I want to begin from Revelation chapter 21, if you want to look in your Bible. And I'm going to begin in verse 1, where John has this beautiful vision of heaven and this beautiful vision of the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God, verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." In verse 6, and he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my child. But the cowardly and the unbelieving, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You know, you hear a phrase, and you may have even used this phrase, referring to someone by saying, they're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. Well, that's not really a true phrase, because God's children ought to be heavenly minded. I am more concerned about Christians who are so worldly minded that they're of no heavenly use. And the Bible says that we are to keep our eyes looking up to that day when Christ comes again with anticipation in everything that we do. On February 2009, Continental Flight 3407, on a flight to Boston, crashed. All 50 souls on board that plane to Boston. No one on the plane made it to Boston. Some of them went to heaven, and some of them went to hell. And I wonder, 50 souls setting forth toward eternity. You know, little do I know, when I get in a car, if that will be my last car ride. Little do you know, or I know, when we get on a plane, that will be our final trip. Will your final destination be heaven? Now think about that. Will your final destination be heaven. I want us to talk today about one of the glorious truths about heaven. You know, the Bible speaks, and you may want to write this down, but the Bible speaks of three heavens. First of all, there's an atmospheric heaven where the birds fly. And Genesis 1 talks about how the birds fly in the atmospheric heaven. But then secondly, there is the stellar expanse where the sun, the stars, the moon shine forth. Psalm 19 talks about how heaven declares the glory of God. But there's a third heaven, and that heaven is the abode of God. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 4, that he had been caught up into that third heaven, which is God's great abode, God's great home. Now, the first heaven, the atmospheric heaven, you see by day. The second heaven, you see by night. But the third heaven, you see by faith. And I want you to see heaven by faith. I want you to be able to say, bless God, I know that I am on my way to heaven. We believe in heaven. Feeling tells us that. Deep down within us, there's hope, and we know that all people, regardless of their race, their culture, their religion, if you look deep down inside of their being, they want to know if there's a God. They want to know if there is a heaven. The book of Ecclesiastes, the writer said, he has set eternity in their heart. In other words, you have a longing for eternity. You have a longing for life after death. You know, the psychologist Dr. Sigmund Freud once said that death is the door to a better life as the oldest, strongest, most insistent wish of mankind. Now, he wasn't a Bible believer, but he knew that. A Gallup poll recently showed that most Americans believe in life after death. Fairness tells us that there is life after death. I mean, think about it. Would you think that God would put someone like Mother Teresa or Billy Graham in the same place as Adolf Hitler? Of course not. Those who have blasphemed and cursed and denied the Lord. And many times in this life, it seems like they're getting away with that. But I want you to know in heaven, God will make it all right. Now, we know there's a heaven, not primarily because of feeling, although we do feel it. That would be too subjective. And not primarily do we know there's a heaven because of fairness, that's a matter of logic. But the primary way that we know there's a heaven is because faith says so. Jesus Christ, who was truth incarnate, said in John 14, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." So Jesus Christ, incarnate truth, said it plainly, unmistakably. He stated, there is a heaven. And by faith, I believe Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, you believe Jesus Christ. And if you are a believer in him, then one day you will go there and you ought to learn all you can about where you're going. Darwin wrote The Origin of the Species. The destiny of the species is what people are concerned about. Where is your eternal destiny? You ought to be concerned about that. Because you see, your soul will live forever and ever and ever, ever, either in heaven with God or in hell separated from God. Now, there are a lot of things we don't know about heaven. The Apostle Paul said that we see in this life through a mirror dimly, like a fogged mirror on this earth. But it says some of these things will come to our knowledge. And some of these things we will come to know. And our knowledge, Paul said, will be made full. So let me tell you some things we do know about heaven. And if you're a Christian, this ought to bless you and cause you to rejoice. First of all, heaven is planned as a new creation. Listen to verse 1 of chapter 21 of Revelation. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. You know, this planet that we're living on right now, this present planet, is a doomed planet. The Bible says earth passes away. And if you're just living for this world and this planet, you're in trouble. As a matter of fact, that is foolish. Because if you're just living for this world, then it's like someone talked about painting the deck of a sinking ship. That's all you're doing. You're moving things around. You're painting the deck of a sinking ship if there is no heaven. But there is a heaven. And Peter talks about how the elements of this earth shall melt with a fervent heat. One day, this planet that you and I are on will be destroyed. You know, on July the 16th, 1945, 30 of the world's leading professors got on their knees because at that time, they realized they had created the first atomic bomb. And they said this. They said, we have created hell. Well, I want to tell you that the God who created this earth will be the same God who will cremate this earth. But you know, that's not so bad. It's kind of like Mark Twain said about something. He said, we can get along without it. And that's the way it is about this planet. We can get along without it, and we can. We look for a new heaven and a new earth. That's what Revelation 21:1 says. We look for that coming new heaven and new earth. But not only is it planned, is heaven planned as a new creation, but it's provided with a capital city. Look, if you would, in verse 2 of chapter 21 of Revelation. Then I, John, saw there was no more heaven. Excuse me, I was reading the first verse, verse 1. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You cannot imagine how beautiful this New Jerusalem is going to be. Our minds cannot comprehend it. You know, one of the fringe benefits of being a pastor is you get to do a lot of weddings. Matter of fact, I have a wedding next month. And I tell people, you know, that bride comes down that aisle, I've never seen one that wasn't beautiful. Now, I have to admit there and confess that there have been some close calls, some that just did make it, but really, I've never seen an unbeautiful bride. A bride, this is a picture here of the New Jerusalem, a bride adorned for her husband. The Bible says this capital city, this city, four square, with gates of gold, with gates of pearl and streets of gold and walls of jasper, that city will be the capital city in the new heaven and the new earth. And I'm so glad it will be. For all the capital cities of this world and all the governments of this world have failed. Washington, D.C. has failed. Moscow has failed. Paris has failed. London has failed. You know, this country was founded on such a hope. The Mayflower Compact stated, in the name of God, we claim this land. Amen. Now, I believe in the separation of the church and state. But I never have believed in the separation of state and God. People that say they believe in the separation of the state and God, that's not meant that we're to be atheists. Where it says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. You see, our founding fathers believed in a Creator. They believed in a God. The Mayflower said, in the name of God, amen. And the Puritan fathers and many of the founding fathers had something in their heart, and as good as they were, as wise as they were, as the years have gone by, that hope has faded. Aren't you glad today that there's a new capital city? Aren't you glad there's a new Jerusalem? Planned creation that is a new creation that is provided with a new capital city. But also there's a third thing about heaven. It is provided with a new community. Look in verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there shall be no more death, no more tears, and God will no more death, no sorrow, no crying. Shall there be no more pain? For the former things have passed away. Look at again in verse 3, the very beginning. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall dwell with him. No longer will we have to pray, our Father who art in heaven. We won't have to pray that because heaven will be us. We will be in heaven. We will be with God. Oh, the presence of God to the redeemed is our chief happiness. And to just know that heaven is going to be a place where God is such a relief and brings such peace and joy to our hearts. But also there's going to be an absence of guilt. Verse 4 says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Oh my, can you imagine that in heaven? No more funerals, no more death, no more graves, no more hospitals, no more broken planets, no more broken hearts, no more pain or moaning or groaning or sighing or dying or crying, because the former things have passed away. Thank God for that. There will be the presence of God and the absence of guilt. And also heaven is going to be marked with the fullness of gladness. Look in verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Oh, listen, you know, people like to get a new car. They like to get a new home. They like to get a new dress or a new suit. Friend, listen, in heaven, he will give us a new home in a new world, and everything will be new, and it will come from the hand of the one who created this universe. Can you imagine how lavish? We really can't imagine how wonderful and lavish and opulent heaven is going to be. I mean, you know that God created this world, and even in this present world, even though it's decaying, there are glimpses of God's glory. You can go to places like the Grand Canyon or Yellowstone, or you can see a rose or a rainbow, and there are glimpses of God's glory. Well, the God who will make this new world is the same God who painted the wings on the butterflies. He's the same God who fashioned the rose. And I want you to understand, we're going to a new world. Now, some people may have the idea, well, I don't want to leave this present world. Kind of like the Sunday school teacher who asked, how many of you want to go to heaven? And everybody but one little boy said they did, raise their hand. And everyone said, well, the teacher said to the little boy, you mean you don't want to go to heaven one day? He said, oh, when you die, I thought you meant right now. Listen, my friend, we love this world, but there is nothing we have here that is going to be better than what we will have in heaven. Imagine. And so many times, you know, people ask me questions like, will they be as a child in heaven, or what age will they be? Will there be a beach in heaven? Will there be swimming in heaven? Will there be pets in heaven? I want to tell you, there are a lot of things we don't know about heaven. But one thing I do know, the Lord who made this world is the God who made that world. Only that world that we're going to in heaven will not be marred by sin. So don't you worry about it. You'll like it. As a matter of fact, you'll love it. Heaven is going to be a glorious place for His children. You know, I heard a story several years ago, and maybe you've heard this story, about a little fellow who was born blind. He had a congenital birth defect, and there came a way possibly that they could correct the problem when he was about 8 or 9 years old. This little boy had never seen before. Since his birth, he'd been blind. And so he underwent surgery, and when it was time for the bandages to come off, they brought him to the doctor's office, and the doctor said to him, now, son, open your eyes slowly at first. And there was a little smile on his face as the optic nerve was responding to the light. And for the first time, this little boy sees the face of his doctor. He sees the face of the nurse. He sees the face of his mother. And he sees his mother's tears. And he looked out the window. And the things that you and I take for granted, he looked into the sky, but not just the sky, the blue sky. And he looked at the grass, but it wasn't just the grass, it was the green grass. And he saw the butterflies and the flowers and the things that you and I take for granted. And finally, after about a day, he said, Mom, why didn't you tell me it was so beautiful here? And the mother replied with a heart of joy, my child, I tried to tell you, but you just had to see it for yourself. Amen and amen. When we get to heaven, we might be tempted to say, Father, why didn't you tell us how beautiful it is, this place called heaven, a splendid place to live and a satisfying place to live. It says in verse 6 of chapter 21, and he said to me, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give of the mountain of the water life freely to him who thirsts. It will be a satisfying place. In heaven, every thirst will be satisfied. In heaven, every God-given hunger will be satisfied. You're going to be satisfied in heaven, and there'll be many satisfying resources. I'll tell you this, hell is going to be a place of thirst. You remember the story of Lazarus where he said, if I could just send one of my brothers, if you could send one of them to put a tip of water on my tongue. Listen, in heaven, every legitimate desire that you have will be fulfilled. But in heaven, we're also going to have satisfying responsibilities. Look, if you would, in verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my people. Now, what does that mean? Man lost his dominion when he sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned in that garden, they were in a perfect world. They sinned and they lost it all. And therefore, they had to live in a marred planet. Well, one day, they will receive their lost inheritance. And we who have suffered with him, the Bible says if we have suffered with Christ, we will reign with him. Listen, this place of heaven that they picture on commercials and so forth kind of leaves people floating on clouds and playing a harp. To me, frankly, that's unsatisfying. That leaves me with a cold feeling. Listen, heaven is a place of satisfying responsibilities. It's a place of rest, but it is not a place of inactivity. But after you rest for 1,000,000 years, the book of Revelation chapter 22 says, his servants shall serve him. Now, it doesn't say how, but it says we will serve him, and there will be responsibilities, there will be relationships, and how wonderful to have that kind of relationship with God. He gave us his Son. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And his final gift, God the Father himself will be with them, and they will be with him. Oh, can you imagine just to be with our God, to know our God, to be one with God? Oh, and it's going to be a safe place to live. Look at verse 8. It says, abominable murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, those kind of people will not be on the streets of heaven. It will be a safe place. Now, you know, it's this kind of person that I just read about in verse 8 that have made the streets of New Orleans and the streets of New York and the streets of Miami off bounds for so many people because there's murder and there's violence and there's killing. You know, we have become so smart. We think we have, so intellectual, but what has happened is our head and our hands have outrun our hearts. We have the mental ability, but we don't have the moral breaks. Can you imagine how amazing heaven is going to be? There'll be no more barriers. You know, you talk about these planes that break the sound barrier. Can you imagine when we are able to just break that sound barrier? When we can fly amazing, to fly through the air. Oh, what ingenuity God is going to give to us in heaven. And God says in verse 27, I will not let my heaven be defiled. And then he underscored it and he said, in no way. It's going to be a safe city. Because heaven is off limits to those kinds of people. And I'm so glad. And if I think you can go to heaven, if you think you can go to heaven without being born again, if you think you can go to heaven without having your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you have a false belief. Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, I know that sounds un-American. But in verse 27, they're going to ask, it says, is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? And that's the final point of our study of heaven today. It's going to be populated by new creatures, planned as a new creation, provided with a new capital, and it will have a new community, and it is made up of new believers. Heaven is for those who have met the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is for those who have been born again. Heaven is a prepared place. Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come unto myself that where I am, you may be also. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people, people who have been born again. You know, I heard a story, and I'm closing with this, about a man who dreamed that he died. And he stood outside the gates of heaven. He stood outside those pearly gates. And here was this man, one man, he was well dressed, but a voice said to him in this dream, "Do you know the password?" The man said, "I am a moral man. The password is honesty and morality." And the voice said, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And then again he said, "I am philanthropic. I have helped. I've given to charity." And again the voice said, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And then another man comes and they ask, "Do you know the password to get into heaven?" He said, "Well, I was a religious man, so the password must be ritual or religion or church membership or baptism." And the voice says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And then when the fourth man comes, he is asked, "Who is it that seeks entrance to heaven?" And the fourth man said in this dream, "In my hand no price I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. I am just a sinner trusting in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." And that voice in the dream says, "Open wide the gates, for of such is the kingdom of God." Now that's just a dream, but I tell you as a parable, it is a lesson. Is your name written in the book of life? When is your name written in the book of life? It is when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you trusted the Lord? Are you a new creation? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Don't you want to go to heaven? Listen to me as I close. One of these days, I'm going to share my last message. One of these days, you're going to hear your last message. One of these days, you're going to take your last ride. But I want you to remain if you've not given your soul to Christ, because you must do it before it is too late. Are you prepared for that place? You can be if you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Father, we thank you for the joys, the wonders of heaven. And Lord, how wonderful it's going to be. And Lord, if there's anyone listening to my voice who've not yet accepted you into their life, and they're trusting religion or their moral standards or something else, their own goodness, Lord, may they in faith turn to you today and trust what you did on the cross for them. And may they simply say, "Lord Jesus, I give you my life." In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer today, please send me a text message or a private Facebook or email message. And again, just know that we love you. We are praying for you. We miss all of the fine people, and we cannot wait to see you again. God bless each of you, and have a great day.